We learned that principle from Lawrence Hirsch from Celebrate Messiah. He said, you know, basically the Jews' history is they tried to kill us, God rescued us, let's eat. So, yeah, it's good. So how good to have Mark and Kirstie and Sam and the whole family here. I wanted you to come out and chat for a little while. I don't know whether Mark and whether Kirstie and Sam want to come out, or you're just happy for Mark to come out. Come out here. Hallelujah. That was pretty exciting. He's in a wheelchair, but we saw him get up out of the car and sort of hobble. I don't know what he's meant to be doing, so I don't know whether to say it publicly, because his physiotherapist might say, you know, what's he doing?
Partial weight.
So you're allowed a partial weight there, which is really good. So let's give one big hand and say, well done. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Mark,
yes.
How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
That's good. Okay, right, let's just Mark, if I could say, what's one word that's been working all the way through this? Something that God has done in your life or spoken to you that you sort of been an anchor through this whole time?
Rest. I've got such a big revelation from God about resting. He's dealt with a lot of pride. I'm one of those guys that loves to roll my sleeves up and, you know, get stuck into things. And I call it my Red Sea moment. You know, I know that God didn't intend for me to have the accident. In fact, we've worked out that God tried to warn me, but I didn't listen. But going through this, I don't know how else I could have learnt this lesson other than going through the accident. And, you know, that's where God uses all things to good for those who love him. And I was lying in bed, couldn't move, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this, Lord? And he goes, just rest and trust me. Just rest in me and trust in me. And I've got such a revelation of that word rest, because, you know, it says on the seventh day God rested. And I think I was listening to Andrew Womack talk about it, but sometimes I think we think of that word in the wrong sense. Like, he didn't just rest as in, oh, I'm exhausted, I'm going to rest. It's like he created the whole universe. It's like when somebody's defending somebody in court and they bring their case before the jury and they go, right, the defence now rests because they brought all the evidence. And I'm like, so through this, I've learnt that, yeah, I love Christine's message where she talked about the Barbie with the, you know, you frame your what you're believing for on the Word of God. So, you know, you have your scriptures and then you rest your case and you're like, okay, I've done everything I can do. Now I'm just going to rest in this because I've presented it and I know it's true and I know that it's rock solid, it's ironclad. Now I just need to rest in this and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And Kirstie's dad says to me, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it and rest in it. And, you know, it's been amazing because God's opened so many doors in our lives where I thought, ah, I need to go out and earn some money. No, God's got this. And God's provided more than we ever could have hoped for, and so much so that we've been able to sow above our tithes, like, you know, in amazing ways. And you think, wow, could have we done that had we been living our normal lives? Because God's just done so much in so many areas. And the other area was community. God's opened my eyes up to how important community is. And it's so humbling to have people like Ian and Dave come and do my lawns. And I mean, they're not small lawns, are they, Dave? They're big lawns. And
yeah, if you're not aware, Mark's where their property is, it's like, I don't know how many houses. Is it two house blocks there or maybe more?
Yep. It's just under an acre.
Just under an acre. Yeah. So you've got a house, but next to it is, you know, you could run half a dozen of sheep there easily. And so it's not like just come and mow the lawns. Yeah. It's a large thing, area.
So, yeah, just accepting people's help, like their generosity and... It's so humbling to do, but at the same time, it's like, you know, your heart just melts. You're just like, wow, I don't deserve this, but people are doing it anyway. It's amazing.
That's a powerful lesson. And it is one of the amazing things about God is he can take something which doesn't have to be his first plan, his first will, and so work it and bring either teaching or training or some sort of connection there where you meet with someone or there's an opportunity arises or you have a chance to minister and pray with someone. And you say, well, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, because I'm in hospital, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to meet this person. And now I'm praying for them. And you say, well, and it's almost like, well, it must have been God's will for this to happen because so much good has come out of it.
Yes.
And it's so brilliant. But it really comes down to this ability of God to take what happens.
Yeah.
And if we give it to him, as Mark said, if you know, some people misquote the scripture. You know, it says God causes all things to work together for good. You know, it says for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you wholeheartedly embrace him, he can then work in that situation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He can, if you fully embrace what God's doing, take that attitude of faith, then God's able to step in and work in that, and in such a way that often you look back and you say, I don't think I could have done it better. God says, that's all right, you are not God. You don't understand. Now, remember Job was like, God, how does this all work? And what, you know, and in the book of Job, he got into the point where he was going through his struggles. He got to the point where he got angry and self-righteous, and he said, I'll tell you what, if God was down here, I'd ask him a thing or two. Then God turned up and said, what do you want to talk to me about? And he, you know, wet his pants and went quiet, you know what I mean? I was like, we're big and brave, and then God turns up and it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And but one of the things God said to Job is, Job, can you run the universe? You know, do you understand how this animal works and this animal works? Can you run the universe? And Job's like, no. He said, well, stop trying to run your own life. You know, like you can't try and understand me and tell me how to run the universe. And so it's amazing that God can use something like this. And it's one of the most powerful things is to be able to embrace what God has done through these times without losing sight that, oh, God, you know, this is not what you plan. Because you know, some people say, you know, God broke my leg to teach me a lesson type mindset. And it doesn't work. But sometimes we go through things that we don't understand. It doesn't stop us being able to lean into God and see him work in that and turn situations around, turn hospital rooms into ministry places, you know, turn needs into opportunities for God to show his grace and his goodness. And like Mark has even discovered, finding things that are in attitudes in your heart that need to be sorted. And you think, well, I don't even know how, God, you could have exposed those things if I didn't go through this. And so you sort of say, well, I don't enjoy what happened, but I so appreciate what you did in it. And that's one of the things. It just makes you sort of so grateful that when you serve God, he's able to work those sorts of things. And it is, it's a powerful thing, you know, like I appreciate what you said, you know, with rest. What a lesson to learn, you know, sometimes you... who here can relate to that? You know that I get my identity through the things that I do, and then suddenly when you find you can't do, your identity is all gets a little bit messed up. And how many know that there are things that sometimes you give it all to the Lord, and you're all good, and then you know 6-12 months later you're having to do it again at another level. You know it's like an onion, just keep peeling away. And you think you've given yourself to the Lord and then something happens and you suddenly discover, well, there's a bit of flesh hanging around in there that needs to be cut out. So I really appreciate Mark's honesty and his humility in sharing. You know, he didn't sort of get up here and say, oh, it's just been one faith journey after another and I'm just doing it. It was like, oh, God exposed me in this. And I really appreciate that, Mark. I appreciate you that becomes a challenge for all of us to say, you know what, it's learning that what true rest is. Book of Hebrews actually has this most amazing phrase. It says, be diligent to enter the rest. And it's like, how can I enter the rest diligently? Because diligent talks about being sort of, you know, effort. So use effort to not be effort, you know, but it's because rest is not a stopping of action. I like that illustration where, you know, the lawyer, he rests. Can you imagine if I said to someone, after the lawyer gave his final speech, he rested, some people could imagine, oh, he went back and put his feet up and maybe got a pillow. The lawyer went to sleep because I think, well, but he doesn't sleep at all. He's very active and he's listening. And but you know what he's doing? Is he is totally confident on the words that have gone. He is totally confident in the words. I might move over this word. The words have done their work.
That's good, that's good.
And now he's just waiting to see them work out. No one has said not guilty. No one has said anything like that. But the words have gone out. And he's just letting those words work. And so that's rest. It's true rest. Do you know what I mean? True rest, and so you know, it's a powerful thing, great lesson to learn. So, yeah, who's your favourite preacher while you've been a bit more time to?
Pastor Peter.
Pastor Peter.
Oh, shucks. Besides me,
I have to say Andrew Womack.
Yeah,
I've been getting a lot from him, and obviously Jerry Savelle and Jesse Duplantis. You know, sometimes you need a bit of uplifting and a bit of humour.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's true. It's how many know it's like a golf cart sometimes, you know, you've got there's something in you. Anyone who plays golf? Not enough people to use this illustration.
No, I play golf.
Yeah, okay, so maybe.
Golf.
All right, maybe how about a builder with a toolbox? How many have seen a builder before working with their tool bag? That might be a bit of one to understand. And he turns up and he's going to do something. You know, some people have only got one tool, hammer. Everything just needs a hammer. No, you don't. You need a hammer and you need a saw, you need a screwdriver, you need a chisel, you need all sorts of things special because different things need different efforts, you know what I mean? And how many appreciate sometimes, you know, if you're needing encouraging, sometimes you don't need to, that's the message I'm going to. You know, that's the sermon I'm going to lead to. And like you said, sometimes I'll just put on a Brother Jesse, you know, because joy will just bring forth the strength.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might feel a bit flat. So I'm going to put on a Jesse and let's listen to some funny stories. And then a Brother Jerry. I don't know of any other preacher that can take you from feeling like, I'm not so sure it's worth it, to ready to bite the back out of the chair in front of you and ring up all your friends and say, don't be a wuss, you know. How dare you think of quitting, you know, because we're, you know... and Andrew Womack, I love just the word of God. Just you know, it's not particularly high powered or you know, it's not with lots of shaking and running and it's just word, and I love that too. And then you have Brother Copeland. I can't listen to Brother Copeland except faith.
Yes.
I just get full of faith. I just notice, you know, so you know, sometimes you just, you know, use these. And you know, and they strengthen you, so it's good.
Favourite worshipper?
Yeah.
I know who that was.
Yeah.
It's Brendan Lake, obviously. And we sang a lot of his songs this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like it.
Yeah, well, that's what we did when we went into the hospital. I just had my phone and I just put Brendan Lake playlist on, put that. And it's every time we, you know, something interrupts us, we stop, we press start again. The first song in his playlist was that one. So we just kept going. So we'd get two or three songs in and the next minute we're back into that one again. So we must play, I don't know how many times we played it, but it was really good. So thank God for worship and using worship and to minister that. What else did you find? Something else, you know, so, you know, it talks about digging into your soul, you know, come on my soul. Anything you'd say, this has really helped me just to keep my soul healthy.
I think it was the first week I was back home and I was questioning God. I was like, I know it wasn't your perfect will for me to go through this accident. And so I was really confused. I'm like, why did I have to, like, why did this happen, Lord? And God said, I tried to tell you and you didn't obey. Because Kirsty actually... I'll relive the story. So I'm driving home and I'm on the phone to Kirsty and a pine cone went flying past my window. And I'm going, whoa. And Kirsty's like, what? And I told her, a pine cone just flew past my windscreen. And she goes, you should pull over. And I said, oh, I will. I'll get through this roundabout and I'll pull over. And I drove to the roundabout and I thought, oh, I'm okay. I'll keep going. And I kept going. And that was when the tree fell over. And he brought that back to my memory because I'd forgotten all about that. And I was like, ah, oh, I didn't keep my word. I said I'd pull over. And there was a perfect spot for me to pull over when I went through that roundabout. But it was God's grace that saved me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep thinking of God's grace. Like I just think, wow, you know, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. There's not enough works we can do to deserve it. But God gave it to us anyway.
Mm.
And that keeps me going all the time. I just think of that and I think I'm still a dad to my son. I'm still a husband to my wife.
Well, you have pain.
We've swapped roles.
Yeah. And I just... Yeah, his grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
That is so good. And listen, Ed, it's, I appreciate your honesty and your openness here, because there are times when we don't like to say what did we do wrong or do you know what I mean? It's but it is good to say, God, where did I miss it? Lord, and often they'll be like, you remember that little tweak? You know, sometimes we want God to sort of shake us, but sometimes a little tweak. Yeah, I remember that. And God's like, yeah, and what happened? Well, I just, you know, how many have ever heard the expression putting the bit between your teeth? Do you know where that comes from? It's from a horse, all right? When they put a bridle on a horse and there's a bit in the mouth, the bit sits and you just have to pull it and it pulls the horse's mouth and that tells it where to steer. But sometimes the horse can push the bit with its tongue a bit forward and then clamp its teeth down on it, which means the rider has lost control. And it just means that horse is just going to do what it wants to do. And I don't know, it's probably irrelevant. You probably don't even understand what that means with God and you and, you know. But, sometimes we do put the bit between our teeth and say, I'm just going to do it this way. And it's not. And then we say, well, but is God punishing us? No, it just means, hey, there are times when I need to recognize, God, you did try to warn me or you did try to protect me. You tried to say, don't do it this way. And I just repent and I just ask forgiveness for it. And it's like, God's not sitting there just wanting to beat up on you. But recognizing it sometimes, you know, I remember a couple of situations. Number one, I was praying for my, just praying for my kids at one point. This is many years ago. And I remember just praying, and I just suddenly it was like heaven's a little bit open, and just aware of the spiritual things. And I just felt angelic hosts around me saying, give us something to work with. You know what I mean? It was like, the angels say, we want to go and work, but we need you to release us with your words and lift up the blood of Jesus over your children. Start declaring the blood is, you know, it's a, and it was like, so as I do things, that empowers them to work. And it was like, and so it was like, we need you to do these things so that we can be released to look after. You know, don't sort of say, oh, well, I hope my kids are okay. You know, I wish my kids, I'm scared that my kids are going to do this. I'm fearful every time I get the phone rings that my kids had an accident. You know, God's saying, can you please give the angel something to work with? Not this sort of, trust something. And the other one was, this was very, we're talking about this in our at the prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. I can remember very vividly, this would be about 20 years ago or more, maybe even longer, I was in my car and it was double lane, I think it was Blackburn Road, so there was an easement in the middle and I'm on one side and I'm pulled in the middle waiting to turn off Blackburn Road, but there's oncoming traffic. And you know how you've got to wait for the right moment? And there was enough space, you know what I mean? How many people, play that game of, I can get around here. So I did that and zipped around. Nothing happened. The car was a bit close, but I was good, I made it happen, got around, good. And I heard the Holy Spirit said, don't ever do that again. And it was, I knew what exactly. Don't push and risk what you're doing there. Don't ever do that again. And I've if I've ever gone close to doing again, my conscience jumps up and says, remember you were told, don't ever do this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I've been protected from. You know what I mean? I don't have a testimony because I don't know what God... Because there might have been a moment when there was oil on the road that I didn't realise. There might have been a moment when the clutch would slip. There might have been a moment when my car didn't do what I thought it would do. Whatever that I... You know, at that time it was fine. But God said, don't ever do that. And I just don't know what he has protected me from. We don't like to do this because sometimes people play the what did you do wrong game. You know what I mean? You know, someone has an accident, so I wonder what sin they committed to. I wonder how they were disobedient. You don't play that game? No, it's not a very healthy game. It's because you can... Sometimes you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what situation. You don't know anything. You're better just to not play that game. All right? Otherwise, you become a bit of a, you know, the sheriff in the kingdom of God trying to fix everybody rather than just support and be there. But if it's you, you are very welcome to say, God, can you just show me, did I miss it somewhere? Do you know what I mean? Not in condemnation, but just ask him. And he can often bring back the moment he tried to warn you. Or you got a phone call or something and you know what? That's and you just repent of it. You just receive grace. You just let the Lord... But you know what? Lord, you were trying and I'm just hoping to, you know, I want to become more quick and obedient, you know, fast. You know, Lord, I don't want to be that person that needs 37 angels and, you know, signs and wonders and had the heavens to open up and someone to ring me and someone to email me and someone text me and say, God says, yes, it is good to, you know, to buy this pencil. you want to be quick. You want to be able to hear the small voice. You want to be, and you practice that, all right? You learn to just be sensitive and obedient, because when you do that, then you hear the voice more often and it becomes more of a pattern. So, but thank you for sharing an opening here, because it's like, you know, that is something for us to learn from, you know, like, okay, God. But without becoming condemned, there's no condemnation. You don't want to sit there and become condemned and you say, And the best thing is, it doesn't matter, even if you messed up, if you put it in his hands, he turns it around and makes it so good. It makes it like, wow, I can't imagine how this could have got any better. You know what I mean? How did you work that, Lord? Because I messed up and yet you still worked. How could, you know, the enemy got in yet this is what's done. But look at all the miracles. Look at the people have been touched. People have been saved. Other people have been healed.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, we went through it with John Poole, you know, beautiful member of our family, you know, church family. And I remember I went into hospital to meet with him. And as I was leaving there, you know, it was a real presence of God came over when I was meeting him. And I came out and there was another guy sitting there and he called me over and he had all this equipment on and, you know, he was in a bad way. And he goes, you know, what's happening over there? Are you writing a book or doing something? Couldn't work out what we were doing. I said, oh, no, I'm a minister. We were praying. We were talking the, you know, He says, I knew it. The moment he walked in, something on his face. You're Christians, aren't you? Yes. Yeah. He goes, I said, you're a Christian? Yes. He said, actually, I'm a retired pastor. I said, oh, okay. So, but he was obviously last stages of, you know, cancer and in his throat and things like that. And he was in a lot of pain. And I just said to him, what pain level are you at? And he said, oh, you know, it's 8 or above all the time out of 10. Just constant, even with all the medication. And I just said, well, let's pray. And as we prayed, the pain left. And he was pain-free. And he actually sent me a text or something. Somehow I got his number. And anyway, about 6 months later, you know, the devil was... I was reminding him of things that happened. I thought, you know, in my mind, it's almost like he got some reprieve from that pain. But, you know, we all know how it's going to end and the devil... And I just, I just rang the number and he answered. And he's home, and it's all, and you know, it's all fine, and all, And I'm like, the devil has been giving me a hard time for 6 months on this. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, praise God, that's just really good. And I'm like, and I thought, well, I had that opportunity because I was there for other reasons. Do you know what I mean? And he'd say, oh, isn't God good the way he... Doesn't matter what happens, if you give it over to him, and now once it's in his hands, that's the key. Once it's in his hands, once you're resting in him and trusting in him and being obedient to him, he can work. He can work. He can turn it around. He can bring... It's amazing. It's the best thing you can do at any moment. If sin is involved, repent, and then you're on the other side. That's when everything changes. If you're still rebelling and trying to make it, you know, trying to make it work in your own, you're on your own. It's like all the best with that. You know, you just do it. You know what I mean? But no, once you put it in God's hands, you can. Doesn't matter what stage it's at. I don't care how far back, how bad things have got. If you can draw the line, put it in God's hands, everything for that moment starts to work in a different direction. You get someone who's playing 4D chess while you're trying to, you know, play scissors, paper, rock. You just got no idea. You know what I mean? He's like, he is able to work. And how good is God? All right? And so, Mark, any final words? And then we'll bless the
Lord. Yeah. I guess the other big word that I'd use is joy. I got such a revelation on joy while I was in the hospital and out of hospital. And yeah, the nurse would come around every morning and go, what's your pain levels? And I'd go, oh, one, if that. And she's like, you're always happy. Like, and I believe that the reason my pain was always low was because I had the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. And that you know, it says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. So, you know, I had the medicine from God. And I guess you were always going, oh, you've got to be realistic. Like, tell them really. I'm like, well... Yeah. When I'm filling out forms, but yeah, it's the joy. Like, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's and just resting and being in joy. That's why I love putting on a merry heart doeth good like medicine.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it gets you in that joy. And when you're in the joy, you're not, what do you call it, navel gazing. You're not navel gazing. Yeah. Thinking, oh, that really hurts. Yeah.
You mentioned something once that like. They wanted you in hospital, what, 6 weeks, and another 6 weeks of rehab, and you're home in how many days?
2 weeks.
In
2 days.
Two weeks. So they wanted you 12 weeks, and 2 weeks later you're at home, just over, you're at home. And but I think you said something, Caitlin was, I don't know if she was talking about it, how you were glad to get out of the atmosphere because there was an atmosphere of pity that was in that, you know, it was like a spirit of. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, so every morning when the nurses change shifts, she'll go into the person that's next to me and she'll go, oh, what are you in here for? And he rehearses everything, you know. And he's like, oh, I've got septus of the spine, I've got this, that, the other.
So these are people in the ward?
These are people in my ward. So there's four people, including me, in my little area. And you're listening to it every time the nurses change shifts. So you hear it three times a day. And it gets, you know, when we're taught to confess, like, what we believe in God for.
Yeah.
You know, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
I'm whole. And it's almost like you're confessing the symptoms rather than the healing. Yeah. And you're hearing that. Anyway, I had a guy that had tried to kill himself in next door to me. He'd moved in there 3 days before I got out. And I'm listening to the assessors assessing, they're asking me information, and, you know, his mental health wasn't great. And you're just like, wow, there's such an oppression in here. And the day I came home, I cried because I was just like, I'm free of that. Like, it was so overwhelming to hear that day in, day out, three times a day, you know, multiplied by three. Yeah.
Yeah. And the nurses would sort of be, treating you as if you're to be pitied.
They'd be sympathetic.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you fall into that sympathy. You're like, oh, yeah, it is hard to breathe. Oh, yeah, I did crack, you know, and I hurt my head. Yeah, what was me?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, they're being kind, they're being sympathetic, but it can cause you to get into the wrong.
That's right. Sort of, you can start thinking about all the things that are wrong rather than all the things to be grateful for. Yeah.
So, well, praise God, and I appreciate some of the lessons we've learned through, you know, learning through this and miracle. Why don't you pray for us and for those online, and let's just believe God that I think the word that comes through is, doesn't matter where you're at, if you will roll it on to God and if you will yield yourself to God right now, things can turn around.
Amen.
Amen. Things can turn around.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the comforter, the helper. Most of all, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that what we put into our hearts comes out. From the measure that a man puts in his heart, it comes out again. So I just pray, Lord, that we continue to put your word in our hearts, that we continue to meditate on it, abide in it, and that your word abides in us, your love abides in us. And I just pray, Lord, that we come out of this meeting today knowing who we are, what we have in you, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're above only and not beneath. We're victorious. We walk triumphantly, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed going in, we're blessed coming out. I thank you, Lord, that we are children of the Most High God. Help us to know who we are, to identify as your children, victorious in every area, Lord. Give us an understanding and a revelation of that, Father God. Make it fresh and new in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.